Three for sharing with us. It is amazing when you think about that story of how so many, when you break it down, so many things probably we could relate to today as we await the second coming of Christ. And here we have the window. We have the same window those people had, is what I gathered you, one of your points. May we take that opportunity to take the window that we have and serve our Lord Jesus Christ and our Savior. Amen. Just want to share with you this morning, Eve already exhorted us to be grateful, to be thankful, and that's what my message is on. And I didn't call Eve this morning. He didn't know that, so thank you for opening up the way this morning. Just praise God for that. When I hear things like that shared the same morning, I'm like, okay. Sometimes you prepare a message and you're ready to deliver, and I've already had it coming to church where I was just like, man, I just don't know if this is fitting for today. And you just share it with your wife, and it's like, okay, that's what I have. I'm going to go with that. Then when I hear something like this, it's the Spirit of God lives in you, and He lives in me. And when we share, sometimes things are confirmed. And so that's how I look at it this morning. So praise God for that. But my message this morning is Spirit-filled gratitude. I've been looking at the Holy Spirit and what He is for us in our lives, what He is for us in life, and last time we looked at the ministry of the Holy Spirit, some of the points were He fills us with power, He's the Spirit of truth, the source of life and joy, peace, comfort. He fills us with God's love, fills us with holiness. He's our helper in weakness and prayer. And He empowers us for ministry. Those were some of the points the last time. And this time I'd like to, those are some of the benefits or the privileges we can walk in when the Spirit of God is upon our lives. So this time I'd like to shift it a little bit to our responsibility and what is our opportunity for the Lord Jesus. And thankfulness and gratefulness is one. It is a choice. It is a choice that we make. Every morning, we choose to be grateful. We choose to be thankful, no matter what we're going through. So we're going to look at a story in 2 Chronicles 20 to start here, where we see an illustration. So if you want to turn with me there, I'm going to read 1 to 23. And we're going to see a story here of how God met Jehoshaphat in the midst of a trial. So gratefulness and thankfulness are fundamental aspects to the Spirit-filled life. They reflect our relationship with God and influence our emotional well-being and impact how we interact with others. So this message will be focused mainly on three things: a biblical foundation for gratitude, the second one is the role of the Holy Spirit, and then the third is practical ways to cultivate a thankful heart. But let's just look at this story this morning from 1 to 23, chapter 20. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazanah Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord. Even of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? and rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Or not thou art thou not our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary there for thy name, saying, If then evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, that then thou wilt hear and help. And thou behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from him and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. He's reminding God here of the great promise. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know what we ought to do. Be our eyes upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. Ye shall not need to fight in the battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of Kathites, and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they stood before, as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. What a victory. What a victory. I didn't notice that before, but here in a verse further back, in verse 12, in my study, I didn't notice this, but look what it says here. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. How many times, what steals the joy of gratefulness? What steals the joy of thankfulness? Just being thankful. Most times when we get overwhelmed with something, that can steal the joy or the thankfulness that I want to have. Because I begin to worry, I begin to fret. But here it says, we don't know what to do. This is too big for us. This army will literally take over us. But he says, but our eyes are upon thee. Beautiful picture of making a choice and being thankful and being grateful. There's another verse there. Verse 15. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. No matter what you're facing, Jehoshaphat, no matter how big it looks, don't be afraid, don't be dismayed by any reason. By no reason at all. Should I fret? Should I worry? Should I complain? Because instantly it will steal my joy and it will steal the gratitude in my heart. But he says, and then he says, as a confirmation to him, he says, the battle isn't yours. But it's God's. I think my biggest battle, your biggest battle, most times is deciding to trust God, number one, and then deciding to be thankful for the trial that I'm in. Because as a saint of God, we go into things that test us, that try us, but at the same time, I can't take a hold of that battle and necessarily fight it from that position. But I can trust the one who has the battle. Because down here further, he says in verse 17, ye shall not need to fight in the battle. How is that possible? How is that possible in the midst of a battle that I don't fight? I have the tendency to, right? We have the tendency to fight. We have the tendency to take it into our own hands and make something happen. It can be, I'm talking very general tests, general trials this morning. If we'd want to drill down on some, you know what the tests are in your life. You know what the trials are in your life. They may be relational. They may be something physical. They may be anything. It's a test or a trial this morning. It can be whatever you think your test is this morning, whatever you think your battle is this morning. You can take control of that somehow. You can take control of that, and you can try to work it out, but it never ends up right. And that's when we get discouraged. That's when the gratefulness leaves, and we can get discouraged. He says in verse 17, "Ye shall not need to fight in the battle." But here he says, here's what you do. Here's what you do, Jehoshaphat, in your battle. Stand ye still. In other words, he's saying, just put your trust in me. Just allow yourself to be, for me to be trustworthy and battle for you. Because I can see the big picture. I can see everything that you don't see. How many times have we heard where someone is in the midst of a trial and then a year or two later they're saying, I can't believe that I'm saying this now, but that was a blessing. I saw God work and I saw God move. As hard as it was, I can look back now and say, that's a blessing. That was when I grew the most, or something like that. But at some point, it took a trust in God, to believe God, to let Him fight for you. He says He'll fight for us. He says, stand ye still, trust me. And then the beautiful thing, see the salvation of the Lord with you. He says, fear not, don't be dismayed. Then he gives a comforting promise. He says, for the Lord probably will be with you. He says, the Lord will be with you. He will be with you. Let's just embrace that this morning in our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 22. You don't have to turn there. He says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Like I said, being grateful is a choice. Being thankful is a choice this morning. 19, quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And when you read those verses, I'm convinced that gratitude is got to be one of the most greatest acts of personal worship that we can do before the Lord. He loves a joyful heart. The joy of the Lord is our strength in the midst of a trial. And in verse 18 there, he asserts that the thankfulness should be, we should consider everything. It should be consistent. There should be a consistent response in whatever God allows us to be a part of. He says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So let's not in the midst of a trial give the enemy any credit for what he's not doing. Let's give God the glory for the trial that we're in. We're saints. And this morning, if you're not in the fold of God, Jesus died for you. Jesus gave his life for you. It's like Eve said this morning, we say things again and again. And you know, sometimes when I share like just a short little piece of the gospel, it's like, okay, we said that last weekend. We said that month after month, week after week, you hear the brothers sharing the gospel come through. But what if this morning somebody is not in the fold of God, not saved, and they would become saved? The Bible says you must be born again because you will not make it into eternity, into heaven, if you're not born again. So we're talking to the saints this morning. Those are in the fold of God. About being grateful, about being consistent in our response to God in whatever God allows to happen in our lives. That became very clear to us this year. We had a couple mishaps. We got through them. They were hard. However, if it would have turned out any other way, God would still be glorified. Do you understand? God is still in control. He is in control of everything. And we look to him in everything and give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. James 12, 2 and 5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations, all kinds, various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth. I looked up the word upbraid. Upbraid is to criticize, to scold, to find fault. He says, and upbraid, this is if you ask for wisdom. He says, if you ask for wisdom, he upbraideth not. He doesn't criticize you asking for wisdom for any little detail in your life. He doesn't mind that. If you need wisdom during the week how to put a piece of wood together, don't we think that God could tell you how to do that? You look at the temple where Saul, he gave wisdom and he spelled out every detail of how to put that together. And they did it outside the temple, so there's no noise right there at the building site. They fitted every stone far enough away that there was no noise right there. How is that possible without the wisdom of God? Where should I live? Where should I go to church? Should I be a part of this church? How do I do this? He says, if any of you lack wisdom, he says, let him ask of God liberally, upbraid and upbraideth not. He don't scold you. He don't find fault in you. He don't criticize you for asking. He's just saying, come, ask me. And then he says, it shall be given. But you know what? That context starts with this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. When you get into a trial, try to find something to be thankful for. Start somewhere. If you feel yourself discouraged this morning, start somewhere where there's a starting point. There has to be one thing. There has to be one thing that you're thankful for. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2, 20 and 21, the purpose for trial and hard things. For what glory is it, if when ye buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently, but when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hitherto where ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. However, there's a however, but there are many blessings that we must not neglect. And I want to share some of those, the primary examples of God's goodness and mercy. Let me just read off these short verses for you. Psalm 106:1 expresses the gift of Jesus Christ. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. 2 Corinthians 9:15, where the gospel triumph. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Oh, hallelujah. There's just no words for it. The gift of Christ, there's just no words that I or you could express this morning that would explain the whole thing of us being thankful for that unspeakable gift. 2 Corinthians 2:14, victory over death. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Wow. Victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:56-58, the sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes I think part of that labor can be and is of just simply standing still and seeing the salvation of the Lord. Just standing there. Because if you don't stand, sometimes when it's really important, then guess what happens? Fear overtakes us. Fear starts to come in. And then we get dismayed. We get discouraged. But he's saying, just stand. Unmovable. Unmovable. So Paul's encouraging us in these next verses I want to share with you. He's encouraging us to not get ungrateful or unthankful if things don't go well. So how is it possible to encourage myself when I'm down or feeling discouraged? The chapter that we just read, you know, it's when he says, the battle is not yours, but God's. That has a lot. Let's just unpack that a little bit. That has a lot in it. If the battle isn't mine, then how will I fight? Let's just make it very clear this morning. It's not about you. It's not about us. This battle is not about us. Ultimately, God wants to get the glory for everything that we face. And so many times we go inward and we start looking inside of us of how, what I can do, what I should maybe be doing, or can start condemning ourselves. You know what? It's not about us. It's about giving ourselves to God, just standing still and trusting him. And when I'm feeling discouraged or I'm down, more times than not, we have too much focus on us, on me. So how is it possible to get out of that? God says he'll fight for you. See, we are not, those of us that are saved this morning, we are not our own. We are bought with a price, so it's about Him. Our trial is not necessarily about us, it's about Him. He is allowing us to go through that. Now, I will say that, let's just think about this a little bit. There may be times where the enemy does have a right to our life. Only I will know that, only you will know that. You know, according to Scripture, as a saint of God, what is sin in your life. So there may be that the enemy has a right into your life. And maybe there is a bondage, there is a torture, there is something going on that you're yielding to a temptation and willingly giving yourself to it and not allowing God to bring forgiveness into your life and coming before Him in repentance. That is a possibility. However, if you're clean and you know before God you're walking clean, then we need to have the confidence to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen? We can trust the Word this morning, right? We believe God's Word. It says that about us. If you're clear this morning and you're in the midst of a trial, I want to encourage you to just stand still. Paul even talks about, he says, run with patience. How do I run with patience? I tell you, sometimes it takes a lot to stand still and be patient. But as you stand still, you begin to see the battle just unfolding before. And maybe if it's something personal, you look back or so later and you recognize, oh my, I didn't even think about this recently, but I don't struggle with that anymore. I got delivered from that apparently because I don't struggle with it. What happened? God battled for you. God set you free. Rejoice. Rejoice. Give Him glory for that. Okay, we're talking about being thankful and having gratitude. Again, you are not your own. Trust in God and He will fight for you. Ephesians 5, 18 and 20. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Oh my, here's what we can do. Speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. That's what they did here. Jehoshaphat established singers. Should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army to praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. Think about it. It took a praise. It took that weapon of praise. Can we look at that as a weapon this morning? Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, a Spirit-filled Christian is what we're looking at. A Spirit-filled gratitude will always display gratefulness in the name of Christ, God our Father. And we cannot be thankful at all this morning if it weren't for the person and the work of Jesus Christ. So be thankful. Be thankful. In His name simply means to be consistent, well-rounded in His character and in deeds, because Christ was faithful in word and deed. Ephesians 1:5-8, have predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made and accepted us in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Eve read some of these verses. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We're talking about overcoming discouragement, overcoming, getting our eyes off of ourselves. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. Be ye thankful. If you just take that one little piece of that verse, be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word and deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Praise God. There's a solution. There's a solution to our unthankfulness or our lack of gratitude. Did you know that there is a deep cost to not being thankful? Let's look at something in Romans 1 here. Turn with me to Romans 1. And we're going to read from 16 to 21. And we see an illustration here of what happens when we don't surrender to God or our situations or trials to God, and when we fret and worry about something and the battle is ours instead of God. It will eventually turn to unbelief. In verse 16, starting, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," this is Paul, "of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation on everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There are some things that are invisible." God created much in creation. We see a lot around us that is just beautiful, and you could not put that together in any way, shape, or form of how would you even begin to make air that has life in it and that you can breathe and that gives you energy. And then you look at the sky, the way it comes up on time every morning. The sun. The sky changes on time every morning. On time. How could you put something that would be that automated together? There are certain things God created that we see that are visible, and that helps us to believe that there is a God. There are other things that are invisible. But when the saint of God comes to Christ, he sees those almost as visible things. And Paul is reminding them there are things that are invisible from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood of those things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. We see that. We see the authority of God. In the future, it looks, I tremble. The authority of God will begin to come more and more evident as he takes everything back under his dominion. He's giving everyone a free choice now, but you begin to see those things. So we're without excuse. We see those. And he's warning us here, or warning the church there. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God." Now look what the next three words are. "Neither were thankful." Now the context pivots. Look what it says. "But became vain in their imaginations." So is it dangerous to have an unthankful heart? When I have a choice in the matter, when I have something that I can do. Again, the last time we heard what the Holy Spirit is for us, this time we're talking more about how we can live our lives before God, filled with the Spirit. neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of uncorruptible God unto an image made with corruptible man, to the birds, the four-footed beasts, and they started worshiping other things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. And it gets worse, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Do you see what's beginning to happen? Who changed the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change a natural use into that which is against nature. It started with a small thing. It started with something very little. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their own lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly or shameful, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet or due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind or a debased mind. He now said, okay, if you're going to take that direction, I'll pull back. And it goes on. I don't know that I have to read, but it goes on into the backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters. But I want to circle back before we pivoted. Because that, in verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. So yes, it is possible that there is a danger in not being thankful or having a heart of gratitude. Let's be very mindful of. Okay, I do want to say this. If you're in the middle of something, it's okay to share with someone about the things that are going on in your heart. I think that's important. I think we need to be there for each other. We are to forbear with one another. We are to walk with each other. We are supposed to listen to each other and help each other through things. But then the person on the receiving or the listening end, keep this in mind. We direct it back toward God and let God fight the battle for the person. We stand with Him. We see the salvation of the Lord working in his or her heart as we listen. Are you with me this morning? There is a way to walk. But yet, the overarching thing is, we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. I want to share with you some themes of why gratitude and to be thankful matters. First of all, there's a spiritual discipline. There just seems to be something about being thankful. Gratitude is an act of obedience and a spiritual discipline that aligns our hearts with God's will. It can bring emotional health. Studies show that gratitude can improve mental health and boost overall happiness. There's the role of the Holy Spirit. It gives empowerment. Being filled with the Spirit allows us to experience deeper levels of gratitude as we recognize God's work in our lives. Oh, that is so beautiful. When I'm with a person and they're expressing how deep God is plowing, or maybe there's no direction there for the person, but they sum it up and say, God is working in my heart. That is so beautiful. So beautiful. God gets the glory. And I trust. And the next point there is transformation. The Spirit transforms our perspective from one scarcity or poverty. And complaint to abundance and thankfulness. So sometimes when we're just in the midst of a trial, we don't know how to get through. We saw that with Jehoshaphat. We don't know how to get through. But yet we believe that the Spirit of God is going to transform. And our perspective matters. Our perspective matters in being having a heart of gratitude and thankful. Because we can have a mindset. There could possibly be this mindset that I just don't measure up. I just feel the poverty in my heart. I place myself there. I actually make a choice to place myself there, and I just don't feel like I can offer anything to this situation, my own situation. When the perspective should be, the Spirit of God is with me. God is with me. And that could turn to abundance and thankfulness. This is not a lot of what we see. Let's be reminded, this is not a lot of what you see. The biblical foundation for thankfulness is not a lot what we see today. Yeah, we see it in each other, right? But I'm encouraging us to take this even, let's go out beyond these walls with this. Like Eve said, this should be a lifestyle. This should be just a part of what I do in the morning of making a choice. Every morning, I get up and I'm choosing to be thankful, no matter what God lays in my path today. No man is able to pluck us out of the Father's hand. We're in the Father's hand. We are walking with God. No man can pluck us out of that. And no man can take from you what is hidden deep in your heart. The deep commitment, the depth of that commitment, no man can take that from you because it is a spiritual commitment. He can take your life and you'll go to heaven. That's how secure it is. Praise God. Wow, thank you, Lord. Expressions of gratitude toward the Lord. That can be in prayer. Incorporate thanks into your daily prayers. Recognize and thank God for all His blessings. Something. Worship. Use singing and worship as avenues to express thankfulness to God. Or service. Serve others as a way to express gratitude for what you have received already. Yeah. Practical ways of giving away. Here's some practical applications. We're already on the third point. Some of you journal, and I haven't made that choice yet, but if you're journaling, don't stop. Keep journaling. Gratitude journaling. Keep a daily journal of things you are thankful for. And reflect how God has provided for you that day or the day before. Number two is, these are practical applications. We can do this. Again, this is our part. This is how we make a choice. Acts of kindness. Making an intentional effort to express gratitude through acts of kindness, whether a simple note or helping someone in need. I just want to publicly thank those this morning that gave cards to my wife and I. And I guess October, Julie, is supposed to be Pastor's Appreciation. But some of the cards that you were very meaningful to the two of us. Thank you. It means something. Those are just little things. Do we need it? No, but it meant something. Some of those were very heartfelt. You wrote it down. You could hear it was coming from your heart. Little acts of kindness. Bake someone, your neighbor, some cookies. You don't really feel like it. You don't really have time. What about if you would take time? What could there be possibly an abundance that comes out of that? Practical applications. Mindfulness and reflection. Set aside time each week to reflect on God's blessings in your life. This could be a quiet walk. It could be meditation. It could be prayer time. Possibly reading a book. They seem almost too simple. But are we missing some of the simple things that take away our gratitude? That's our challenge this morning. Number four is community and sharing. Share your gratitude with others in your community or church. Consider starting a small group of people to share what you're thankful for. Or maybe you touch base on a weekly basis, however you want to set that up in person. We have WhatsApp. We have all kinds of communication platforms that we can do this. And the whole group knows it right away, instantly. That could be one idea. Mentor or disciple or walk with someone to encourage each other to be thankful. Stir each other up to walk in the Spirit. Stir each other up to walk in the Spirit. That's Eve's point this morning is very powerful. We gather here to stir each other up. Now, as soon as we're outside the door, we're heading down the road, we can stop the stirring by not taking action, right? We're all guilty of that at times, but we stir each other up. And I just want to make a point here. This is actually something that is very dear to the heart of God, to disciple someone. We have a great need here for that. And I, starting with myself, fathers in the home, discipleship. And there's some young men here that would love to have an older person disciple them. There's a need here. But this is an important aspect in walking in the Spirit, that we were able to pull together. There's no age barriers. We're all walking together. I don't even like to say, I don't like to make the focus the youth, you're the future church. Let's go there together. Let's travel together. Leroy, you're 80. I'm almost 50. Abram, you're 30. But you understand, Leroy, myself, and you can walk closely together. And if you have a young man under you, we can walk with that man. Together. Together we go. We're going to go further together. We can get somewhere quickly alone, but we're going to go further together. Stir that up in each other to mentor, disciple, and walk with people. If we don't have that, sometimes we get off, we become stale. I have four questions for us, and we're going to wrap this up soon. What are some of the barriers you face that hinder your ability to be grateful? How do you think being filled with the Spirit affects your capacity for thankfulness? Can you think of a time when expressing gratitude changed your perspective in a difficult situation? How can we encourage others to cultivate a spirit of gratitude in their lives? So yes, God is the ultimate object of our thanksgiving. And like we said before, His love highlights, it recognizes, it sees it, the constant flow of gracious gifts that He wants to give to us, to those that know Him. James 1 and 17 says, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, we just can't escape. We can't escape the importance of continually offering thanksgiving on every occasion and for everything. Hebrews 13 and 15, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Wow. That verse gives such a beautiful summary. Offering, continually offering up sacrifice through Him praise to God, that is the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name. I have to think of back of when Mel was sharing about the fruits of the Spirit. Picture the fruit always being right on your lips. And part of that fruit is praise. How many times does negative stuff want to come out? Maybe gossip, you know, things of that sort are the fruit that's right on my lips. But picture it if it would be something that you're thankful for. Doesn't that bring life when you hear somebody expressing what just happened and they're excited, their enthusiasm is there for the week and they just can't hardly get enough of words in to tell you what God is doing in their life. Hallelujah. Give thanks to his name. In closing here, gratefulness, thankfulness are vital components of a Spirit-filled life. By recognizing God's gift and actively expressing gratitude, we can transform our hearts and minds, which in turn positively impacts our relationships and communities. So let's make it a goal to integrate these principles into our daily life, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, always, always. If you can, let's stand, and I just want to pray. As we pray, just a suggestion here, as we pray, think of something that you have not thanked God for in the past, maybe more recently, you haven't thanked God for that. As we pray, confess that neglect and then begin thanking him for it, starting now, and then from here on this week, just keep thanking him for it. Something in your mind that you know that you haven't been thankful for, that there's just been kind of a complaining. You haven't said anything to anyone, but there's just kind of a complaining in my heart, and I don't even know what I should do with it. And it's just kind of there every morning when I wake up. It's just kind of that fruit right on the top, on the tip of my lips. And out of that, people feel it around me, and they're affected by it because I haven't been thankful. So just confess that, repent, and then we're gonna pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit this morning, Lord. Lord, this morning there's a release. There's a release going on in the hearts. God, I pray that you would meet each heart this morning. Meet all of us, Lord, together. That we can just be thankful for something that has been hard. We're choosing to release that to you because you said the battle is not ours, but it's the Lord's. So help us, God, to stand still patiently, but yet standing with grace in the situation that we're in. God, I pray this morning for each one that you would strengthen them, their inner man, Father. The things that are invisible this morning, you would strengthen those things and help each one. Whatever trial they're in, whatever temptation, maybe we've been stale. We just haven't had much passion to follow Jesus. Oh God, refresh that this morning. Because truly that is an outward way of not being thankful to you. Help us, God. Help us to see that this morning. So, God, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for being in our midst, Lord. And we just give you all the honor and all the glory. Again, it's not about us. It's about you receiving glory for everything that we do and say. So we just commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.